Hey, what's going on? Happy Wednesday. Happy opening day eve. Nick Kirby here. Welcome to Chatterbox Reds, proudly sponsored by DSC Commodities. Coming up in just a minute, really special interview with Reds International Scouting Director Trey Hendricks. Really enjoyed chatting with Trey, getting to learn a little bit more about his job and his role with the Reds, learning about some of the Reds' top international prospects, some of the behind-the-scenes stuff. Trey also told me two under-the-radar players. I asked him just maybe to give me one if he was willing to. He gave me two that I think you'll enjoy learning a little bit more about later on. Before we get to that, I want to tell you about our proud sponsor. That is, of course, Deep South Commodities. DSC is a leader in renewable commodities for biofuel production. They specialize in used cooking oil collection, aggregation, and sales. Visit www.deepsouthcommodities.com for more information. Thanks, as always, to our friends at DSC. Not a whole lot of Reds news going on Tuesday. It was a scheduled off day for the Reds. They had their scrimmage on Monday. Tuesday was supposed to be a complete off day, and then they'll have a workout at Great American Ballpark on Wednesday, today, if you're listening on the day of this podcast release. Biggest news of the day, though, was from Charlie Goldsmith. He said on Cincy 360 that he heard some, quote, overall positivity about Matt McClain's season. Matt McClain got a second opinion back on Monday about his injury. We're hoping to get word about the results of that on Wednesday, so we'll wait and see about that. The other big news in the NL Central on Tuesday was Dylan Carlson suffered a sprained AC joint, and he's going to start the year on the IL. Cardinals going to have Victor Scott II make their opening day roster. Scott is their number four ranked prospect, so definitely a talented player, but Dylan Carlson, another big loss for the Cardinals, and they're going to start the season down three outfielders, as they're already down Tommy Edman and Lars Nootbaar as well. So the Cardinals dealing with the injury bug just like the Reds, just like the Pirates. They got it really bad. Their entire bullpen, it feels like, is on the IL. Brewers have their share of injuries. The stinky Cubs, the only ones that seem to have avoided the injury bug so far. I want to tell you about a big opening day preview show that we are doing on Wednesday. So that's today as this is released. We're doing it from 10 a.m. to noon on Chatterbox Sports on YouTube, replacing the normal off-the-bench slot. I will be hosting with my pal Craig Sandlin, co-hosting with me, and we've got a ton of really good guests. C. Trent Rosecrans, of The Athletic, Charlie Goldsmith of the Cincinnati Inquirer, Mark Sheldon of Reds.com. Never talked with Mark before in a podcast. Met him in Arizona. Really nice, and happy to have him come on. Tom Nichols, the voice of the Dayton Dragons, and Justin Kinner, who Chatterbox Sports is partnering with. He works for 1410 Wing AM in Dayton. That's ESPN Radio. Does an afternoon show from 3 to 5. So really looking forward to that. Having some fun chatting about the Reds with a lot of good guests. I will have that up in your podcast feed on Wednesday, probably no later than 1 p.m. And then that is going to serve as your last podcast leading up until opening day. I won't have anything new on opening day. I mean, I feel like that kind of covers us for that. But we have a lot of content on opening day I do want to tell you about. From 8 a.m. to 10 a.m., we will be live from Great American Ballpark on 1410 Wing AM with myself, Trace Fowler, and Justin Kinner. I'll actually be driving from Cleveland down to Cincinnati tomorrow after I do the opening day preview show. So a busy week for me, but a fun week nonetheless. So we're also hoping to simulcast that on YouTube. So that's 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. We'll be live at GABP doing a morning show for 1410 a.m. Then we will have an extended off the bench that will start at 10 a.m. And run until some point in the afternoon until we run out of content or we've gone through it all. But 10 a.m., we'll start that Chatterbox Sports on YouTube off the bench. I'll be joining that in studio at some point. And then our first Chatterbox Reds postgame show, and I'll be doing it from the Chatterbox Studios on Tuesday for the postgame. So we'll go live in the ninth inning, do our normal postgame show that we'll do, Lord willing, all 162 games this season. And then you'll have your first official podcast recapping opening day in your feed early on Friday morning. So busy week, but the best week. Reds baseball, it's so close. I can taste it. I can't wait to get the season started. I'm sure all of you can't wait as well. All right. Well, without further ado, let's get to our interview with Reds International Scouting Director, Trey Hendricks. All right. I am joined now by Trey Hendricks. This is the Director of International Scouting for the Cincinnati Reds. I'm so excited to have Trey on with us here for a few minutes. Trey, first off, before we kind of get into maybe some of the players and some of the interesting things the Reds are doing, I kind of like to hear a little bit more about your background. How does a guy get into a scouting department and eventually become the director of international scouting for a Major League Baseball team?
Well, that's a good question. My background, I grew up in Houston, Texas, northern suburb of Houston. And then I played high school baseball, ended up going to Harvard University to play up in Boston, which was quite the change weather-wise. But I played 4 years at Harvard. And then, was drafted by the Arizona Diamondbacks, played a couple seasons in their minor leagues. And then, I kicked around independent ball for a couple years and finished my career over in Europe. I played two seasons in Germany and one winter in Australia. And then I finally realized, this isn't exactly the path that I had in mind on the way to the big leagues. So I had to switch gears and went back to law school. Went to University of Miami Law School down in Florida. And immediately when I was in law school, I started reaching out to all my contacts around baseball, looking for that first job in the game. So my second year of law school, I interned with the Washington Nationals. I would basically spend, Friday through Monday in Vieira, Florida with the Nationals. And then I'd come back to Miami for classes Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So I did that my second year. And then I spent the summer in Washington with the Nationals. And then my first full-time position came upon graduation from law school. I got an advanced scouting internship with the Cleveland Indians at the time, now the Guardians. So I moved to Cleveland, did that for a year. And then I went into professional scouting with the Guardians. I stayed in the Midwest, did a lot of Midwest League, Eastern League, a little bit of the International League, a little bit of Major League coverage. And then that kind of morphed into Winter League coverage. And I would go down to Mexico or Dominican Republic to cover the Winter Leagues. And I started going out with some of our international cross-checkers with the Guardians and area scouts and seeing amateur players and realized that was really appealing to me, the chase of finding players. As you know, in the United States, all the players are subject to the draft. I just thought it was really cool that you could go out and do the work on players and sign them and get them into your organization. So that's kind of how I started in international scouting. And then I ended up being a cross-checker for parts of 2 years with the Guardians. And then 1 year with the Texas Rangers before I got the call from the Reds to kind of take over their international department. So here I am starting year six with the Reds and couldn't be happier with not only where I am personally, but also the direction that the Reds are headed right now.
So you're with the Cleveland Indians, now Guardians, for a while. I see you were, a scout with them for quite a big, good chunk of time, and it seems like it coincides pretty well with when they kind of took off and had a really great run of success as an organization. Who were some of the players that you scouted and then eventually they were able to sign?
I think you're starting to see some of them get to the big leagues now. In Cleveland, it's a very collaborative process. There's a lot of voices that go into every decision, so certainly can't take credit for any of these guys individually, but I did, see several of the players that are getting to the big leagues last year and this year when I was a cross checker with the Guardians, guys like Brian Rocchio, George Valera, John Kinsey Noel. We actually signed Tanaj Thomas, a pitcher out of the Bahamas, when I was there. So it's a, you know, it's a really exciting group that they have there that's on the cusp of the big leagues, and I think will be impacting their major league team this year. So, you know, as I said, it's very collaborative in Cleveland, and I certainly can't take all the credit there. A lot of voices went into those decisions, and I think we made some good ones while I was there.
So was that that spring breakout game, the second one, Reds and Guardians, was that kind of really fun for you, getting to see a lot of players that you've kind of had at least part of your hand in?
Yeah, no doubt. I would say, you know, in that game, I'm so far removed now from Cleveland, being, you know, my sixth year in Cincinnati, and I had a stop in Texas for 1 year, that, you know, not many of those Guardians players were, you know, guys that I had a hand in signing, but certainly exciting to see the Reds prospects in both that game and the Texas game.
Well, the player that stood out for me was Noel. You could not miss him. That guy is a massive, massive human being. I definitely will never forget that name. All right, well, let's shift gears to the Reds. And the first guy that I want to ask you about, just because there's not a whole lot of information, especially, you know, with the, you know, the translation, all that kind of stuff, is Shang-In Lin. Felt like kind of a little bit of a out of the box, hopefully I'm not characterizing that wrong, signing for the Reds, but one that I personally am really excited about. I guess talk to me about how that kind of all came about and, you know, what you think about his future.
Yeah, he's an exciting, exciting young prospect. Obviously, there's a lot has been written about his two-way abilities, and we certainly saw that as we were scouting him over the years. You know, we started watching him when he was in the 9th or 10th grade over in Taiwan, and followed him throughout his high school career. Our scout on the ground in Taiwan, Jamie Storvik, did an outstanding job creating a relationship with the family. You know, navigating several agents that were trying to represent Shang-In, and just glad that we finally, you know, got to the finish line, and I'm pumped that he's a Red. You know, on the mound, he would sit comfortably in the 92-95 range. He touched 99. He had a really good slider, good changeup. But we were especially intrigued by the athleticism and what he brought to the plate. There's been some talk about, you know, sending him out as a two-way player, but you know, I think collaboratively, not only our scouting department but our player development department feels that, you know, to give him the best chance to get to the big leagues, he needs to focus on his hitting and finding a position. He's athletic enough to play shortstop and third or center, and he's certainly got enough arm to play right. So I think we're gonna just, you know, see where he excels defensively, and hopefully the bat takes off like we think it might.
All right, next guy that I want to ask you about is a guy that is kind of already, I think, building up a little bit of a legend. You know, we didn't get to see him because he was in the complex last year, but I read a quote. You said that you think Alfredo Duno is one of the best catchers I've seen come out of Latin America, and he's a guy that I think is really building a lot of excitement among Reds fans, and especially Reds fans that love watching prospects.
Yeah, absolutely. Duno's a really exciting kid, and I stand by those words. He is one of the best catching prospects I've ever seen. you know, certainly there are have been comps to Salvador Perez thrown around. I do think Alfredo's a little bit more athletic at the same age than Salvador, who has had an outstanding major league career. And if Duno has anything close to that, I think we'll all be excited. But, you know, he's a special kid, special talent. He dealt with some I wouldn't call it an injury, but arm fatigue maybe in the DSL. So he didn't end up catching, but he did hit, and he excelled at the plate, and he's back catching now, catching and throwing. He had a really strong spring training, and you know, the sky's the limit for this guy. I think if everything, you know, goes right, he could be a star at the major league level.
I was thinking back to last year when I was looking for tickets for opening day for the Reds, and just how difficult it was to not only find tickets, but find them at a decent price without a bunch of crazy hidden fees. Well, the GameTime app is now an authorized ticket marketplace for MLB, which actually makes getting tickets even faster and easier. Prices on the GameTime app actually go down the closer it gets to first pitch, With killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat, and the lowest price guarantee, GameTime takes the guesswork out of buying MLB tickets. My personal favorite feature of the GameTime app is their seat layout. It shows you exactly the price around the stadium in each section in a very clean, user-friendly way. They have all-in pricing. Toggling this feature shows the total up front with no surprise fees at checkout. The lowest price guaranteed, or GameTime will credit you 110% of the difference. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with GameTime. Download the GameTime app today, create an account, and use the code CINCY for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem the code CINCY, C-I-N-C-Y, for $20 off. Download the GameTime app today. Last-minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. All right, so I asked a couple guys that really follow the Reds minor leagues even closer than I do, much closer than I do. One of the guys, Bryce Spalding, he had a question about Adolfo Sanchez. Where does he project defensively, and how aggressive do you think the Reds might be with him?
So Adolfo, the main calling card with Adolfo is certainly the bat. We think he's going to hit and hit for power. And he's done nothing but that since we started watching him. And we're excited to see what he can do in the DSL this year. Defensively, we think he's athletic enough to stay in center field. And we're going to give him every opportunity to do that early in his career. But if he is forced to move to a corner, we think he's going to have enough arm for right. And the bat will play in either corner. So he gets exceptional reads and routes in center field. He doesn't have that blazing speed that you ideally look for in a center fielder, but he just makes it look easy out there. He glides the balls. He reads the ball off the bat really well. And he's a very accurate thrower. He's got at least an average arm right now. So I think we're going to give him every opportunity to stick in center field. And it's going to be really exciting to watch that bat develop.
All right. This one comes from Reds fan Brandon. And he asked about a prospect. I got to be honest, I've never even heard of. So I'm really excited to hear your thoughts. And I don't even know what to ask you about. I'm just going to ask you about him in general. Hopefully I'm saying his name right. Yakel Soriano. Tell me a little bit about him.
Yeah, Yakel was a player we signed 2 years ago. He played DSL last year and did really well. He dealt with some minor injuries over the course of the DSL season. And we're hoping that he gets to Arizona at some point this year. He's very similar to Adolfo in that he gets, exceptional reads and routes in center field. Again, he's not that, 80 caliber runner that you sometimes see in center field, but he just makes it look easy out there. He glides the balls. He's got a plus arm already. And he's very accurate thrower. And then at the plate, it's a really simple swing. He stays in the middle of the field, gap to gap. And we think as he matures and fills out and gets stronger, that power is going to come. He wasn't one of the biggest money bonuses in that class, but certainly a player that we're excited about. And we think he's got upside. So hopefully we'll see him at some point in Arizona this year. But if he is still in the Dominican, we expect him to really perform and open some eyes and get on more scouting radars.
The Reds opened a Dominican academy, I believe, recently. Can you tell me a little bit more about that and maybe how big of a deal that is for scouting and being able to sign players there?
Yeah, so we didn't open this academy. We moved into the academy that was previously occupied by the Miami Marlins. They built a brand new academy and moved out. And we had been in Baseball City for years, ever since I got to the Reds and far beyond that. So it was an opportunity to move into an academy that had really good bones and a little bit more space than we had at Baseball City. So I think when that property opened up, it was something that we thought would be advantageous for not only our organization, but the kids that are going to be living there. It's a lot more comfortable. They've got more space. We've got 2.5 fields there, as opposed to at Baseball City, we only had 2, and just a bigger footprint in general. And I think that every team's got an academy down there in the Dominican Republic. And it's just, it's absolutely crucial in the first few years of a young Latin player's development to have a place where, you know, they're safe and they're fed well and they're educated and they can train, you know, 6 days a week. Sundays are usually off days down there to let their bodies rest, but we're excited to be in this new complex, and it, you know, it's only going to benefit our players and staff down there. One thing that we did add for the 2024 season is a second DSL team. We had only had one down there in previous years, but we are adding a second team. So we've been working hard to fill out the roster for that second team, and we're excited to, you know, to take a few more swings at players that we like and think have upside. And now we do have the roster space to add those players.
Trey, I wanted to ask you about Cuban-born players, because that seemed to be a really big way that the Reds were signing guys from Cuba. With Jose Barrero and Vladimir Gutierrez out of the organization, is there any like plans to kind of jump back into the Cuban market? I know it's obviously dependent a lot upon, you know, what players are available, but is that something that you kind of want to be an emphasis here in the near future?
You know, I think the market kind of, it comes to you, right? Like, you can't go forcing things. And we certainly monitor the Cuban market. Anytime Cuba is playing at an international event, we have scouts there, whether it be the U15 that just happened last week in the Dominican Republic. Cuba had a team there. We had multiple scouts there watching them, or their professional team that may go to the World Baseball Classic or the Premier 12. So we are constantly monitoring the Cuban market, but it's not something that I think that we're going to force. If there happens to be a player that we like and the money matches up, we're certainly open to adding players from Cuba. But again, you know, we monitor the whole world, and we're always, you know, there when Cuba's playing outside of Cuba. And it's just something that you can't force, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that definitely does make sense. All right, I have to ask you, because I have to ask everyone about Ellie De La Cruz. I won't ask you about the whole, you know, story about, because I think that's been covered a lot. I just want to know from you personally, how exciting is it to have a guy like Ellie De La Cruz come up and have the success and kind of bring the hype, and really last year bring just an incredible energy to the entire city of Cincinnati? What is that like for you to watch that?
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, he's on the same caliber as some of these young stars that have come up recently. Juan Soto with Washington and Fernando Tatis with San Diego. He's right there in star caliber with those players. And you know, I got to Cincinnati a couple of months after Ellie signed, in Manuel Cartagena and Richard Jimenez, who's now with the Dodgers. They did an exceptional job scouting and signing Ellie. And, you know, credit to Ellie. He put in the work, especially, you know, he had to deal with the COVID year, and he made the most of it. And he made himself into a star caliber player. And for Cincinnati, I couldn't be more excited. We think that there are more players on the way that are going to be really exciting and add to the, you know, entertainment value of watching Reds baseball, and also help us win, you know, a championship. And that's our goal. We want to win the World Series, and we think we have players on the way that are going to help us do that.
I don't know if this is a fair question or not, but I want to ask you, a player that's not like on any prospect rankings, and I know you don't follow that gospel like some of us do, but a player maybe that from the international pool that's really just under the radar that Reds fans should maybe put their eyes on, maybe a guy that could be really up and coming.
Yeah, I think I've got two names for you, and I think both will see time at Daytona this year, and I think that if they perform the way that we think they will, they will be on all these prospect, you know, lists and getting a lot of publicity. The first is Carlos Sanchez. We signed Carlos out of the Dominican Republic for $70,000, and he has turned himself into a legitimate prospect. He was an outfielder when we signed him. He was so athletic that we tried him at shortstop, and he's looked good there. So he brings some versatility. He can play short, third, outfield. He's got a plus arm. He's an above average runner, and he can really swing the bat. He went down to the Australian Winter League as an 18-year-old this past winter and did really well for Perth and led them into the finals of that league. Had a great experience. You know, he learned English while he was there. So I think Carlos Sanchez is set for a big year, and I think he's going to really rise up you know, any of those prospect rankings that, you know, are out there. Another one is Esmith Pineda. He's a corner outfielder from Panama that we signed 3 or 4 years ago. He was in Arizona last year, dealt with some minor injuries, but this kid can really hit, and he's going to have big power. He's super athletic, plus arm profiles in right field. He's a good defender out there, but, you know, the bat is going to carry him, and, you know, he should see some time at Daytona this year, and we're excited to see what he can do, you know, in the low A environment where you're not at a complex and you're playing under the lights and having to deal with travel and all that. So those two, Carlos Sanchez and Esmith Pineda, were particularly excited about, but that, you know, certainly not the only two.
I love that. I love that you gave me two. That's great. I really appreciate that. All right. Last question for you, Trey. Really appreciate your time. I know everyone always asks you about all the international prospects and, you know, once all the insight into that, you probably don't get asked this a lot. And I want to ask you this. What's kind of your thoughts on the 2024 Reds? Obviously, an exciting team as we're releasing this podcast. It's going to be opening day eve. What's kind of your thoughts about this upcoming season?
Yeah, I'm really excited for Reds baseball this year. I think we're going to be competitive in the NL Central. And, you know, I was with the Guardians in 2016 when we made the World Series run. And I don't think anybody had us pegged for the run that we made, right? We just got into the postseason, got hot at the right time. And we pushed it to 7 games in the World Series that year. So I'm really excited. We're you know, we've got a young team that plays with, you know, charisma and emotion. And I think we're going to be really exciting to watch. You know, the last maybe 10 days of spring training, we were a little bit unlucky with some injuries. And hopefully these guys bounce back quickly and are able to, you know, get to Cincinnati and help contribute. But I'm personally very excited about this season. It's going to be really fun to watch, and it should be a fun ride all year.
All right. Well, thanks again, Trey, for your time, and best of luck on your international scouting endeavors.
Thanks for having me, Nick. Appreciate it. Go Reds.
All right. Well, thanks so much for listening today to Chatterbox Reds. Appreciate all of your support. If you've not yet subscribed to Chatterbox Reds, as I mentioned, at the beginning of the show, we got all kinds of great content. So subscribe wherever you're listening to this podcast. Also subscribe to Chatterbox Sports on YouTube. All kinds of content coming up. Live shows after every single game, and then live and then podcasts the morning after every single game in your podcast feed. So hopefully you'll stick with us all year long. If you've not yet left us a 5-star review wherever you listen to this podcast, make sure you do that. And also tell a friend about Chatterbox Reds. If you know someone who loves the Reds, and they, you don't know if they listen to our podcast, tell them about Chatterbox Reds. Say, hey, check this podcast out. They do podcasts the morning after every single game, even on Saturday and Sunday. Quick recap. So tell a friend. We would really appreciate that. Of course, our opening day show, it might have already happened by the time you're listening to this. It is 10 a.m. to noon on Chatterbox Sports on YouTube. But if it's already past noon, it's probably going to be up in your podcast feed, either already or in just a few minutes. So be sure to check that out. I think that'll be a really good listen, kind of get you excited and pumped up for opening day, not because of me, because of so many great guests that have thankfully come on. We also do have another podcast at Chatterbox Sports this morning. The guys Chuck Walter and Houdini recapped the Bearcats' loss to Indiana State, ending their season in the NIT quarterfinals. So be sure to check out Chatterbox Bearcats, everywhere you get podcasts. Links to all the shows are in the episode notes below. Links to that special code for the Game Time app that you can get tickets still for opening day or any tickets this weekend. And links to all the Chatterbox social media sites. We're going to try to do a little bit more content on some social media sites. Maybe do some TikTok lives, some Instagram lives. I got to figure out how to do all that. I'm not exactly TikTok and Instagram completely savvy, but we're going to try to do all that. All the links to all that stuff is in the episode notes below, so be sure to check that out. All kinds of content all season long, and I just can't wait to get the season started. Well, thanks so much, as always, for listening. Hope that you have a fantastic Wednesday. We'll talk again soon. Go Reds.